You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You guys are blowing up the phone lines and hitting us up on Twitter at Browns_Daily. Gribble, you're getting tweeted. The show's getting tweeted. What do you got?
Well, you know, kind of a common theme from it's come from multiple people, and this is not something that's really been talked about with these rule proposals. Pipolini, Seth Wilson both want the rosters expanded, and Pete was a little more specific. He wanted all 53 to be able to dress for the game.
It's not a bad idea.
On Sunday, and I think was it last year where the practice squads got expanded little bit? I think that was a good move. Always good to employ more people, get more people active and involved and staying in the game, because, you know, so many of these guys who are on the practice squad, people forget about them, and then look, all of a sudden, a guy like Tremont Williams goes from the practice squad to one of the better quarterbacks, cornerbacks in the NFL. So I think this, I think the idea of expanding spots like that is a good idea, because it keeps, I think it keeps the dream alive for a lot of people.
It does.
Keeps the motivation and keeps these feel-good stories happening in the NFL. So I have no problem with it. If teams can agree they're willing to take on more of these players, I'm all for it too.
Let's get back to the phones. Adam and Westlake talking Ohio State quarterback. Updated list. Mark and Brook Park.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Two quick things. One on the Bo signing and one on a rules change.
Sure.
I think the Bo signing is great. Good talent, and I think it kind of eases the draft form a little bit, because it really could take wide receiver off the board from 12 and 19, and use 12 and 19 to get some pass rushing and some O-line depth. And then as the rule change goes, I think if people are getting that hurt. I think they should just go to the college game and just – I think they should just take away the whole thing and just put the ball on the 25.
So get rid of the kickoff?
Get rid of the kickoff. Put the ball on the 25. And I had a question for you also.
Sure.
Have we even addressed punt returner? Or we don't have
the, I don't think – essentially we have not. But the one thing that I do know is if you go back and even if you just YouTube Tremont Williams – Tremont Williams, the one asset that we have not touched upon is, yes, he has a lot of pass defense. He's very, has great body position, but he's actually returned punts for the Green Bay Packers, because their special teams have been so up and down. And again, I was a part of it when it was up. And which is why, Mike McCarthy has fired their special teams coach, and he has a big say now in the special teams. But go on YouTube Tremont Williams punt returns and watch that guy with the ball in his hand. So he's someone, again, if he's asked to play a full load on defense, it's going to be hard for him to be a punt returner, but he's very, very good punt returner as well. Let's hit our guy, Cam in Canada, Mr. Positive. What's up, Cam?
It's hard not to be positive. I mean, I was ripping those guys last year when they were going through the crisis, when things were imploding. I'm not one of those Pollyanna types, but if a person is not feeling confident about what the Browns front office is doing right now, they're just outright, flat-out choosing not to be confident.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And the one point that I want to make, and interject it right here, I read earlier today, ESPN Cleveland's writer, Tony Grossi, wrote a great article and to a whole different tune than last week's article on free agency, a lot more optimistic about this year's movement thus far in the last 5 days, really, by Ray Farmer and the scouting staff and the Cleveland Browns. And he talks about we're getting Randy Starks, Brian Hartline, Josh McCown, and Tremont Williams at about $16-plus million guaranteed. And you look at one guy who was no longer a Cleveland Brown but a New York Jet in Buster Skrine, and he was getting 13.1 guaranteed. So we're getting four players, in most cases, all of which will have a starting type of role for this football team, and immediately upgrade this roster at a little over $3 million fully guaranteed money that one player got somewhere else.
Yeah, and they all have the, from based on reading reports, they all have the options to then make more money than that guaranteed money. So it's kind of a prove-it kind of contract system, and basically the NFL's a prove-it league, and you want the best players around, and you want them earning those salaries that they're getting. And I look at the Buster contract, and I think he was getting offers like that from other teams, but then you look at what the Jets did and brought in Cromartie.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they expected to get Cromartie?
I don't think they did.
Was this in their plan all along?
I think Cromartie was visiting Dallas.
Especially when you have, and granted, he hasn't really done much, but, you know, D. Milliner's still on the roster. He was hurt on the block now, though. Yeah, he was hurt all last year, and they made these moves with him there as well. And I don't know, with his injury history, what you even get for him in a trade now. The hope, I would think, was just to hope he would get better on your own team.
Sure.
I just don't see what you get from on the market. So maybe they'll be phenomenal. Buster in the slot is about as good as you can hope for at that position. But we'll see if they maybe tied up too much in those few positions.
You never know. But again, the reason why I wanted to mention Tony Grossi's article on ESPN, and you can find that at ESPNCleveland.com, is just to edify the plan that Jimmy Haslam and Ray Farmer laid out, you know, prior to free agency even opening, the fact that they're not going to be the big spenders, those first few days spender in free agency, but yet they're going to be strategic. They're going to, you know, it's going to become at a value, and they're going to get guys that are going to upgrade this roster, which they are now going to do via free agency 2 years in a row. Of course, we have to see how this plays out.
And if this Bo signing does happen, we don't know yet. It's not official as of yet. This team's going to have a little different feel to it just from a veteran standpoint, because the veterans that have been added, I mean, this was one of the younger teams in the entire NFL last year, still going to be pretty young at a lot of spots, but now you're going to have a little bit more of a Dansby Whitner feel in that locker room with some of these veterans coming on who have seen a lot, been through a lot in the NFL.
You definitely have. We're going to go back to the phones. Let's hit Bob in Strongsville.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm going to put a different spin on a couple of things.
Sure, spin it.
Okay, the draft. Forget wide receiver. We need a rush end, a defensive tackle, and we need an offensive lineman, and preferably a tackle. With the third round pick, we need a center. I have a question for you. You played defensive back when you played, correct?
Linebacker, sir.
Oh, I apologize.
That's all
okay.
Right.
All right. Now, you're a bigger boy then.
I wish I could play DB. I can cover, just not the wide receivers.
I hear you. You know, I've watched Tom Brady for years, okay? And the one thing I've always noticed about Brady is they flood sides, they go, and, you know, the man gets the ball out of there. You know, we're talking 4, 5, 8 yard passes.
Sure.
Why? Why are we always stuck on this thing that we need this guy with a cannon arm and something? I want a cerebral quarterback, one that understands the game, that can read defenses and get the ball out. I do not want somebody that is 5'9" and weighs 125, like what we drafted with the 22nd pick last year, as my quarterback. And I personally feel the Browns are only going to win, after looking at the schedule, about 3 ball games. Then, you know, maybe we can get. I personally feel the Browns are only going to win.
All right. Thank you for your call. And Bob, you know what? I like your first point on the fact, and that's something else I'll throw out there for you guys to either call or tweet the show, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Now that we've made significant moves, Tremont Williams, Randy Starks, Brian Hartline, Josh McCown, and now maybe potentially Dwayne Bowe, have we done enough via free agency that we don't have to go, you know, wide receiver in the first round, and we can allocate those picks towards the edge pass rusher, the defensive line, youth movement, to play, you know, next to John Hughes, to play next to Randy Starks, but get that development type, you know, run stuffer, active body inside to stop the run, and or that guard slash tackle we talked about, and adding value behind the offensive line to help that right side.
Yeah, I still don't necessarily eliminate wide receiver from the first round either.
I don't completely
rule it out. I think it makes it not as much of a pressing need, I guess, as maybe it was perceived a month ago. The point I did like from Bob was the center in a later portion round. I think that's a definite need.
Yep.
In a backup position. Maybe not get someone who can just play center, but someone who is capable and also capable of providing depth at guard and potentially tackle, but it would most likely be guard in that situation.
Yeah, I don't agree with the fact that the Browns are going to win three games. I think this team's going to continue to take steps in the positive direction. And we thought that going into last year, but you look at the NFC South and the AFC South and the way they kind of fell apart, and very similar things can happen with San Francisco, you know, retooling, and so on. The Raiders are going to be up and down and so on and so forth out in the AFC as well. But the one point that I do want to make, and I think we have that in Josh McCown, because a veteran guy who's both been able to watch and also to take his bumps and play some good football along the way at the quarterback position, he will be able to read defenses. And I think also, too, he does have a bigger arm than Brian Hoyer. And I hope that what John DeFilippo adapts here with these new weapons is to give this opportunity, and I've talked about him a lot, the playmakers. Get the ball into the hands of a playmaker, because the best wide receivers in this game aren't the ones that can just catch a deep ball. They're the ones that take nothing, you know, like a Randall Cobb, a 6-yard gain, and turn it into a 33-yard gain. You know, you look at Andrew Hawkins, some of his catches, you know, catches them for between 6 and 8 yards, but turns them into 60, turns them into 40-plus yards. And I think that is what he was referencing in regards to Tom Brady, more so than anything from a defensive standpoint. You're identifying a mismatch with a nickel, a linebacker, or a safety covering a guy that you think can win a one-on-one situation, and that's what Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning take advantage of. Let's hope Josh McCown to do the same thing. Let's take one more caller before we grab a break. We'll go David in Amherst.
Hey, guys. First, I got three things real quick. The first thing is St. Peter's football rules.
Absolutely. Go Chargers.
That's right. The second thing is, and I'll ask you guys this and then wait for a second. What do you guys know about Brandon Bridge from Southern Alabama? I heard Greg Cosell say something about him, and I looked him up. It was pretty interesting. And then the final thing for the rule change is I'd like to see the NFL bring in like a card policy like they do in soccer, like a yellow card, red card that carries over for a couple games. I know it sounds silly, but like if you think like games on the line, team throws deep, you might as well, like the DB might as well just like cause a pass interference. And
they do.
Yeah, exactly. So if you do something like this where like the referee feels they obviously prevent a score, why wouldn't you give them a red card or a yellow card? Not to make the team play short, but just so that guy has that hanging over his head the next week when he goes into the next week of the season.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Speaking on Brandon Bridge, you know, I know a little bit about him, not a ton, but I know he was kind of a buzzy name going into the combine because he was under the radar. He came from Canada, played at Alcorn State a little bit, and also played at South Alabama, which is a relatively new program that's getting better and better every year. But he's 6'5", 235, and I think the thing on him, he's got probably the biggest arm in the entire draft, but clearly kind of a raw prospect, not someone you could maybe throw in there right away, but I think people are very intrigued by his upside and what you can develop into.
Absolutely. It'll yet to be determined. We're going to take a break, take a quick timeout, catch us on the other side. We'll start off the 2 o'clock hour, again, with more calls, more tweets, 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns_daily. You guys are making this show go with your feedback, rule changes. Where are you watching the NCAA tournament? The potential of Dwayne Bowe being a Cleveland Brown. What do we do now? Is a wide receiver still an option in the NFL draft? Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by ESPN Cleveland 850 WKNR. 'Cause you're a sky.